Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
One time for us to get into our next segment, and the next segment, as you know, is our Grow Model. And you do know by now that we do have the good Pastor Pambana joining us to talk to us about our focus for the week, family worship dynamics. But for today, we're not just talking about family worship dynamics, but the unspoken expectations. You see, it's easy to fall into the trap of performing family worship, reciting prayers, reading scriptures, then moving on, as if the act itself is enough. But what if this routine masks underlying pressures, underlying guilt or fear of failure? Authentic worship requires vulnerability, beloved, not perfection. It demands honesty about where we are spiritually, even when that feels uncomfortable, particularly in front of our loved ones. If you're a man, in front of your wife and children, if your parents, in front of the children. That's why we're going to have this conversation about the unspoken expectations. Pastor Pambana, good afternoon to you. Welcome. And thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us again.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me again. We really want to thank God for yet another chance to talk about Him.
Absolutely. Pastor, are we worshiping for God's pleasure or seeking affirmation from our family members?
I think, sadly, the latter would be true in most cases. I remember growing up, you know, when we would do these our family worship,
right,
sessions, our family prayers, you know, you would be asked to give your memory verses.
Yes.
You know, we used to do to make it more competitive with the other siblings, you know.
Right.
Competing as to the number of memory verses that you had up the mat.
Okay.
And usually there would be a reward for it.
Right.
And fortunately, we would do it for affirmation from our family members. We would do it so that they could, you know, see that, he nailed it today.
Right.
Today he did more memory verses than his sisters or his brothers.
Right.
So
right.
Unfortunately, I believe, I've also seen it in some of the kids that we interact with. You know, I'm a school chaplain, I'm a junior school chaplain,
okay,
and we see these things in them. I would like to take our assembly meetings,
right,
to be like those family worship sessions that we have at home.
Okay.
You know, when we are doing these things in the classrooms, you know, you see these traits, that it is no longer really for God's pleasure, but it is now for our family affirmation,
okay,
for some affirmation from our family members, affirmation from the school chaplain,
right,
affirmation from the class teacher, and
right,
things like that. So, you know, unfortunately, it is not a good thing, because Jesus warned against doing such a thing.
Mm.
If you go to Matthew chapter 6, he says, he warns against such a thing. And
yeah,
he tells people not to be like hypocrites.
Right.
You know, it has to be coming from inside. It has to be genuine, not only for some affirmation or for some glory or something like that. You know what I'm talking about. So he said, when you pray, he put it this way: when you pray, find your secret corner, shut the door behind you.
Right.
And the Father who sees, we thank God because He sees in secret.
Yes.
He will see in secret, and He is going to reward that.
Yeah.
So true worship is not a mere outward form,
right,
but it is a heartfelt expression of love and devotion. That is
right,
what it is supposed to be.
So how does that pressure to do it right affect our genuine connection with God and our connection with each other?
Mm. You know, I would like to put it this way. It is the pressure to perform. You feel like you have to perform. You know, when you're stepping on that gas pedal, you want your car to perform, right? It feels the pressure and it has to perform the way you want it to perform. And that is exactly the kind of pressure that we will be having when we are trying to please, or when we are seeking affirmation from the family members or from the fellow worshippers around us. So the pressure to perform can then lead to hypocrisy. And hypocrisy is something that God doesn't like at all. It is something that God detests.
Yeah.
And it is definitely going to distance us from God. You know?
Right, right.
It can also create stress and hinder genuine connection. And yet, the purpose of worship is not to get something. Something like affirmation, something like glory, something like, you know, the rewards from these physical rewards from the people around us. The purpose of worship is not to get something, but it is to give something. Give glory to God. Give service to those you are worshiping with. Uplift them.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
So what are the dangers of turning worship into performance to impress others or even ourselves? Tell us, share with us those dangers, Pastor.
Well, allow me just to give the umbrella one, the mother of all these dangers.
Okay.
And the mother of all these dangers is that very same one that brought Lucifer all the way down from heaven. Pride. Turning worship into a performance can lead to pride and hypocrisy.
Okay.
It can also lead to a lack of authenticity. It can also distract us from the true purpose of worship.
Right.
Which is connecting with God. Instead of connecting with God, you're busy trying to connect with the, allow me just to say, the audience.
Yo.
Because you're now performing.
Yo.
That's what it is.
Yo. The very idea.
It's very dangerous.
Yeah. So how can we create space for authentic, imperfect worship that reflects our true spiritual state? Teach us, Pastor.
To create space for authentic, imperfect worship that will actually reflect our true spiritual state, I would say the number one way of creating that kind of space would be to try and be humble. Humility will give us that. A humble spirit will get you to that point. You can prioritize honesty. You can prioritize vulnerability and simplicity. And all these things can only come by when one is humble. You know, David prayed and he said to God, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." Psalm 139, verse 23. So, you know, you also make room for sharing struggles and doubts and focus on God's presence in the worship setting.
Yeah.
Be humble. That's what it calls for.
Wow. Final question. In what ways can vulnerability during family worship lead to deeper healing and trust?
Well, vulnerability can lead to deeper healing and trust by fostering empathy. You get this. You get you get empathy from it. You get understanding, and it also brings unity between or among the worshipers that are gathered together to worship God. And as we share our struggles, we also invite others into our journey, and thus giving them the empathy I was talking about. And then God works through us.
Yeah.
He also works through them to get to us. He works through us to get to them, and He works through us. He works through them to get to us. That's what it is. You look at yourself as someone who is vulnerable. Then you are at a point where someone can see that, I can help this person.
Right.
So the people around us can actually see that this person definitely needs to be helped.
Right.
God can also see that. Remember that he sees what is on the inside.
Yeah.
I love Paul. I love Paul. You know, Paul gave us a very, very good example. Unfortunately, we don't have time to talk much about Paul, but Paul is the greatest of his time. I don't know how to put this, but great as he was, I mean, you know what, all the things that Paul did, we all know of the things that Paul achieved. Paul, without Paul, we don't have the New Testament. You know, Paul is is recognized as the second to Christ by the demons. Remember, they said, Jesus we know and Paul we know. Something like that. Paul is so great, but yet he gets to a point of vulnerability. He brings himself out as someone who's so vulnerable by saying, he says, I love this particular text, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, where he says, here is the truth most worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into this world to die to save all sinners, of whom I am chief. And hence we get our song, Chief of Sinners, Though I Be, Jesus Christ came to die for me. You know, things like that. So when you are vulnerable, when you exude a level of vulnerability, you are then at a point where someone can see that this one needs help. God himself sees that.
Wow. Okay, got it. Loud and clear. Thank you very much. It's been phenomenal as usual. Looking forward to our conversation tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, brother. Let's talk again tomorrow, Mfundisi.
God bless you.
Be part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.